Of all the books in the Bible, Genesis stands out as the one that shows us just how bad and messy humanity can be and how great God's grace overarches all of it. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon to begin today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with a look at that kind of grace in the life of Jacob.
When the Lord pursues with salvation, there's a time you awake to it. And the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a son. And you know the persistent, continual, relentless pursuit of God after you and how He has continued to bless you does nothing but overwhelm you and tell you you're a son.
That is encouraging to consider, and we'll do just that. Consider this encouragement out of Genesis chapter 30, today on Abounding Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. Here's Pastor Chris now to begin our time together by the reading of God's Word.
Well, we turn in the Bible this morning to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 30, and we're turning to verse 25. I was going to read all the way to verse 55. The next chapter, and I was sitting at the kitchen table the other night, and my wife said, "That's way too long. Don't preach that long." And then my children said, "No, Mom, we like it." So it's really interesting. Sometimes children, we think we understand them, but we don't. But I agreed with my wife. It was way too long. So we're going to look at verses 25 through 21 of the next chapter. So 25 of chapter 30, all the way to verse 21 of the next chapter. Let's give our attention to the word of the Lord. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I've served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I've given you." But Laban said to him, "If I found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I've served you. Now your livestock is fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good. Let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted and the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred, when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped and speckled and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, "Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he's gained all this wealth." And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was and said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've served your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flock bore spotted. And if he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of the Lord said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he sold us, and he's indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. So Jacob arose and set his sons and wives on camels. He drove away all his livestock, all his prosperity that he had gained, the livestock in his possession that he had acquired in Padan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. He fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. I don't know how much the life of Jacob has affected you and what your thoughts have been as we have studied this, following closely, looking at all these things that have happened to Jacob. But what has been most moving about the life of Jacob is not so much Jacob's actions, because they really are not noble. It has been God's pursuit of him. I have wanted to see Jacob realize that. I mean, it has really been a wonderful story to study God's pursuit of a sinner. That his life, Jacob's life, had been absolutely lifeless. I mean, it has really been shocking to study the lack of spiritual life in this man. He was dead. There was just no life in him. And we stood amazed when God, remember, way back when God dropped the ladder to Jacob and said to him unconditionally, remember what God said, I will be with you wherever you go. I'm not going to leave you. In fact, I'm going to bring you back. This is the program. This is how it's going to go for you. I'm with you, Jacob. And whatever happens to you, and whatever you do, I'm with you, and I'm not leaving you. Now, at some point, that has to get a hold of you. At some point. You know, if you could remain dead after seeing all of this for so long, you're the greatest tragedy that has ever existed on the face of the earth. And what I believe is before us this morning is a passage showing us what happens when life begins to enter the soul of man. In other words, when the grace of God begins to prevail in somebody's life, what does that look like? What begins to happen? Well, that's what is here. And I want you to think about prevail for a minute. Because you see, in the next chapter, in chapter 32, a man is going to come in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the night, and take Jacob down and wrestle him down and change his name. And that name has everything to do with God prevailing over him. I don't know how much you struggle with the love of God. I heard a pastor once say, well, everyone seems assured today of heaven. I'm not so sure that's true. I think it's a front. I believe most people are not assured. I believe most people have no confidence. I don't know where you are But I want you to understand something. When the Lord pursues with salvation, there's a time you awake to it. And the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a son. And you know it. I mean, you know it. The persistent, continual, relentless pursuit of God after you and how he has continued to bless you does nothing but overwhelm you and tell you you're a son. Through all of the struggle and hardship and pain of his own stupid choices, after the fog begins to lift, there's a realization that God is with you and that he never left you. And the whole way through, he preserved and blessed and kept and strengthened. And this morning, that's what's set in front of you. This morning is the relentless pursuit of Jacob by God. And after all of these years, he sees it. He sees it. Do you? I want you to study with me for a moment what it looks like this morning when the light goes on in someone's life, because I'm going to say this later. You could be here in this church and be for years. You could be a long-standing church member and you can be absolutely dead spiritually. Dead. So, in this passage, I did my three-pointer this week. Here's what I come up with. Jacob's conflict, Jacob's cry, and Jacob's call home. Jacob's conflict, his cry, and the call home. Last week, we opened up Genesis and we looked at the birth wars that were going on. And at this point, 11 of the 12 sons had been born to him out in Haran. And Benjamin would soon come, which would make these 12 tribes of Israel. As we open up chapter 31, what we have here in this next section is a massive conflict between Laban and Jacob. Jacob comes to Laban, and it's time. Something's happening in Jacob. It's time. He wants to go home. He wants to be released. It is time to go home. He's worked for him now 14 years under a great scheme. And by the time this episode is all done, it will have been 20 years serving this man of his life. The agreement was up. So he comes to, as soon as Joseph's born, you'll notice that he comes to Laban and he says, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I've served you that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." And you say, well, why doesn't he just leave? And here's where I think this is really important for us to understand. He can't. He cannot leave. Jacob has now come to realize something. When Laban originally hired Jacob, the status had changed. Jacob became a servant. And you hear that in Jacob demanding what? That he release his children. Why? Why is that so important? Well, throughout the ancient Near East, when children were born in servitude, they were the property of the master. Who's the master? It's Laban. The children of Israel are owned by Laban. In fact, that's exactly what Laban says when he comes on hot pursuit. They're mine. They're mine. Laban knew what he was doing. Laban was prospering greatly from Jacob, and he holds Jacob in bondage. He says in verse 28 that the Lord has blessed me for your sake, Jacob. He's riding on the coattails of this man, and he, by divination, doing his divination, his magic, he saw, I am receiving all of this. So he wants to work a deal with Jacob. He begins to work a deal to keep him and hold him in the servitude. And so in what follows may seem to be a strange kind of scene. It is strange. As you read through this, you know, I looked at this first off and I thought, what an odd scene in the book of Genesis. Why does God put all this detail with this odd scene of dealing with speckled and spotted sheep? I mean, notice this. Here's the deal. Jacob says, okay, let me pass Laban through your flocks, removing from there all of the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs, the spotted and speckled among the goats, and that'll be my wages. And look, Laban, if there is found in any of my flocks one that is not spotted and spotted and speckled and brown, it will be considered stolen. Laban thinks, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's just too good to be true. I get the prime rib. Are you kidding? Yeah, good. Let it be as you have said. Jacob gets a little bit in this whole deal. I want everyone to look carefully at verse 34. Good, let it be as you have said, but that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had white on it and every lamb that was on its back, and he put them in charge of his sons, and then he runs and gives 3 days space between them. What a dog. I mean, you see what he just did? He cuts the deal, and then immediately he runs out and takes what was Jacob's. And he gives them to his sons and takes 3 days so that Jacob won't even know. Now, this is crafty, this is cruel, this is scheming at its best, and Jacob returns the favor. Jacob then falls back into his old ways, doesn't he? And he takes rods of green poplar, almond, chestnut trees and peels away the strips, and he puts them in the gutters of the water troughs where the flocks drink. Now, the notion was when you did this, you put these peels before the animals. When they're in heat, it's going to produce a whole bunch of streaked and speckled and spotted animals. I mean, it's fascinating because if the last chapter, the wives are using love potions, now Jacob is using some kind of potion with the animals. You know, if you stand back from the life of Jacob, this whole run to Haran has been awful, hasn't it? 20 years. 20 years of your life are spent in bondage and slavery. And if you look at what's happened here, he's been continually cheated. And now, after all of this deceit, after all of this bondage, Laban comes and takes away everything from him. You know, you look at Jacob and you try to think about somebody like this in modern day life. And what do you come up with somebody like this? You know what you kind of feel about a Jacob in this life? I've met Jacobs in this life. You know, they're just hard and they run and do whatever they want to do and they don't seem to care and they get involved in nothing but problems and conflicts and the life is raised in the church, it could be, and the life is just dead. You know, you stand back from this and you see the life mess up and spiral out of control, and you start to think, man, the guy is getting what he deserves. Don't you? You know, we consider that the guy pulled a scheme on his own dad and his dying blind dad, and then, you know, he steals the birthright from his own brother. His whole life has been nothing but deceptive. And I think it's easy for us to stand back and look at Jacob and look at people like this and say, ah, they're getting what they deserved. You know? His home is in shambles. And now he's being ripped off outside of the land. Everything's being taken from him. What do you say of somebody who's living in darkness? Well, I've heard it. I've said it. You know, to wake up, they got to hit rock bottom. I'm careful with that now. You know, rock bottom, I've seen people hit that. And I've seen people die at rock bottom. When people destroy their lives in front of you, it's one of the worst things to see. When they run and they do what they want to do, if you've ever seen anyone wreck their life with alcohol or with drug use, and you watch it just spin down out of control. I mean, I've said this before, all the people at the rescue missions who are in that and who are at least open and honest about it all, the first thing they'll tell you is they want to get out. They can't. One of the worst things that I've seen is that when people are looking for an answer in the midst of the downward spiral and they never come to the right answer, You know, they're always clinging to something new. They're jumping from here to here to here to here just to get on some kind of track that will that will make it go okay, until somebody comes along and takes advantage of them. And the situation that they're in now is worse than the last situation. And further and further and further, they're driven into the bondage. Have you seen this play out in people's lives? I don't know how many times in the ministry I've seen it. And things actually go from worse to worse. You might stand back from this and, you know, if you've ever been crossed by somebody like this or taken advantage of somebody like this, you think, well, they're just getting what they deserve. And maybe we're a bit satisfied with that. Here's what moves me this morning. The Lord's not satisfied with that. He's not happy about any of this. This is not a game to Him. Our lives are not a game to Him. What's He been doing the whole time? What has the Lord been doing the whole time? In all of His running, in all of His being taken advantage of, Jacob ultimately was schemed into having two wives. What did the Lord do last time? Steps into this and cleans up His house. These two women in His house, you had the imagery of last time, they're greatly distressed. They're full of sorrow. Talk about a sermon for mothers today. Full of sorrow, full of distress and hardship, and they are really worked up. And you see the Lord's powerful intervention into the course of events and into the scene with unloved Leah. And by the time that scene is done, the Lord had loved her so much, she's satisfied in praising God, holding six children. And then the ones to her maid. And by the time he was done with Rachel, he gives her Joseph. And she's publicly saying, my reproach is gone. The Lord's taken it. Talk about a cleanup. Talk about the Lord intervening and turning sadness and sorrow into joy. Well, here's Jacob. All of his life, he's been running. All of his life, he's been doing whatever he wants. All of his life, he's been wrecking his life. And he keeps spiraling down and down and down. And I'd say you're about at rock bottom. And what happens in verse 41? Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Listen to verse 43. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. What's going on here? The peels didn't do it. Love apples didn't do it. You all know that, right? Behind all of this is the Lord intervening into these people's lives and taking this life that is a wreck and a mess and pursuing His own will and turning the whole thing constantly into blessing and grace.
And that is our God, a God who simply doesn't just help the sick, but absolutely rescues and restores the ruined.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Tomorrow, we continue our look at Genesis chapters 30 and 31 here on Abounding Grace. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.